Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Hey there, listener. Do you have something to say? Then you're already a podcaster. You just don't know it yet. Whether you love to shoot the breeze with friends, have an urge to share your passion with the world, or even want to grow your business, you've got something worth saying with a podcast. With Acast, it couldn't be easier to start your own show. Launch, grow, and make money from your podcast across all listening platforms. If you have something to say, you're a podcaster. Head over to acast.com to get started for free.
Got a thatch. Just kidding. No, for real. I'm serious. This is Jess. Just kidding. You don't know who I am? Get the fuck out. Got a thatch. Got a thatch. Drag is the new.
What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBear here, and we are back again. We are here with a microwave episode of our podcast. We are deep diving into the long, winding, treacherous, nobody goes home for three fucking weeks, drag God-saving path that was Drag Race Season 14 here in the United States, the main flagship show. And we finally have a winner. It feels like forever. I feel like we talked about this with on one of our roundup shows. And to be completely honest, that feels like so long ago that I have no idea what we even said about that show. We were in the middle of Drag Race UK versus the world. That came and went, and we were still halfway through the season on the mainland, and it's just crazy. But we are here to deep dive, dish, and just, you know, talk shit, conjecture, give hot takes that nobody asked for, but we're going to give them anyway. I am joined by Eric.
Hello.
And Brian, look who made it to the show to talk Drag Race this time.
Listen, I woke up. Yay me,
no,
I woke up.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed. We're recording this in the wee hours of the morning on the West Coast. So I am mazel. I am impressed. And I'm happy that you made it for this.
I could not stand up Joel a second time. That's really what I came down to.
Well, thank you.
Well, yes. Joining us again is our house member, Joel. What's up, Joel?
Not much. And, oh, this is just the recording a podcast look.
Full drag. I mean.
Yeah, exactly. Just bundles and bundles. They can't see. They don't know.
Nobody could tell that was a wig. I'm just saying. Nobody would be able to tell that was a wig.
Not at all.
I love it. Oh, why did your sunglasses fall off? Girl, you better staple that into your wig next time.
Oh, no, it's an earring. Damn it.
Joel is joining us again. He was with us when we did our last conversation about Drag Race. So I'm excited to chat more about the season that was and get your takes on the second half, especially. Again, I don't remember most of what we said the last time we recorded, so this will all feel brand new to me. But we also have another special guest. This gentleman and I have chatted on Twitter while he was doing a rewatch of Drag Race, and we started bantering back and forth. And an errant tweet that I saw recently where close to the finale, around the finale, said, if you have a podcast, bring me on so I can give my hot takes. And I said, you know what? Why not? Y'all have heard us talk our shit. Might as well bring some new voices on. And Ginger is currently in the Vegas show. So she's being suspended on that fan of candy bars that RuPaul came down on. Ginger's currently hooked up to that, and we're just waiting to be lowered. It's 8-something in the morning in Vegas, but she's still waiting up there. She's dedicated. But joining us, we have Dan. What's up, Dan?
Hi, guys. You know, just here to share my completely unqualified opinions.
I mean,
it is the internet.
It is a podcast.
Seriously.
You know, why not talk about an art form I've never participated in? Why not?
Okay, I was gonna ask, have you ever been even in face, not even in full guiche, but like, have you ever been painted?
No, not a thing, but I am dying to. But I also don't want to be one of those people that does it and you just look totally busted. For me, it's either like you're going to do it and you're going to be 100% stunning or nothing. And I don't know how to get to stunning. I just don't. So I'm never.
Girl, that's why you got to start it busted. You got to start somewhere. Joel, have you ever done drag?
Yes. I mean, I used to be in theater. So yes, I've definitely worn stuff. So yeah. You have to look busted because here's the thing. You're going to think you look great, but then you're going to look back on it in 5 years and be like, oh, wow, I looked like shit.
I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I look back at my first pictures and I still look stunning.
I will tell you that both Pat and Eric have done drag and look fabulous at times.
Did you have drag names?
Yes. Eric, would you like to say yours first?
Sure. It was Anita Richards. Dick for short, but not short dick.
And I am Tulita Pepsi.
Lovely.
And I am Leona Theremin, who is coming back out of retirement for a special event in June, having only done one performance digitally, completely not live. So this will be a live one. Oh, my God. I'm scared.
Will you be bearded?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm a bearded queen.
Okay.
I don't. I mean, I have trimmed this before. I did actually. Do you know Gravity Falls?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I did Grunkle Stan and I guess Grunkle Ford, right? And they both have like, you know, close, you know, like 5 o'clock shadow. So that's the only time I've ever shaved or trimmed for drag or for something cosplay. But yeah, no, I color this. My drag mother in spirit, though not really, is Beyonce Bear, who is a fabulous drag queen that we all know, bearded queen from Florida. And and then I have a possible honorary new spiritual leader here in Seattle, Honey Bouquet, which is spelled Honey Bucket. She's part of the Bacon Strip, which is an infamous drag show here in Seattle. So she is I'm trying to sort of crawl into her family, you know, very, very subtly here. So yes, it's I'll send the video. I have a video I shot for Media Meltdown, which, by the way, quick plug, Media Meltdown is doing some still amazing things. I have not been promoting their stuff on our Facebook as much as I used to.
I was going to say, it's been a hot minute since since there's been a mention of them on the show.
I know. I've been slacking, and they are so fantastic. If you ever have a chance, they're on Twitch, and they're doing live events now in San Francisco at the Balboa Theater and Oasis. So you should check them out.
You should post your video to the Facebook page. I think you did it when you actually did the performance, but it's been a while. And since we're mentioning it, our listeners can see it closer up instead of having to like cycle back through a year's worth of posts to find it.
I think
there's one video of my last performance. Nope, my second to last performance. I don't think anybody did. There was the last time I was in drag was the only time I did it with a beard, and that was because it was a show for one of the bartenders that I'm friends with. And he was doing a competition, so it was a benefit show. That's the word I was looking for. And he asked me to do it kind of last minute. And I was like, fine, I will do it, but I am not shaving. So I just did a, I think I did a glitter beard for it. Yes. And it kind of matched, it pretty much matched the dress that I wore. And then I did Taylor Swift's dress as my, my song. And, you know, good times. But there was a lovely Kesha mix that I did for my last Turnabout performance, which was my favorite of everything that I've done. So we'll see if we can dig some of that up. Anyway, enough about our drag. I will do give one other plug because I was watching Purse First Impressions yesterday, and Brian will find this enlightening and maybe something that he will want to partake in. But Thorgy is taking her Thorchestra out of the retirement closet for, you know, COVIDina, and is doing a Pride tour. And is doing, I think, three nights in Seattle. So the Thorchestra will be in your neck of the woods. So go to go look into it and check it out, because I know you'd enjoy that.
I love me a musical, like literally a musician, drag queen. So yes, I will. Thank you. And Ben de la Creme show is touring all over the place. So be sure to check for Ben's or Dela's show. Was it the committed one?
Ready to be committed.
Yeah. So she's all over the place. She just left Atlanta. So kind of making her way back west.
Bitch, I bought tickets the day they went on sale. May 26th. I will be here in Chicago at the Thalia Hall. And I will be watching it. This time, I will not be so drunk that I kind of fall asleep during it. Because I think, Eric, were you with us when we saw Ready to be Committed? No. I think that was the year that you did not go with us.
No, oh. I saw her the other one going through the levels of hell.
Inferno
a go-go.
Yeah,
that was the year I got really drunk before all the shows, and then when you're drunk and you're sitting in one spot for a while.
The singular year that you did that.
That's fair. Usually it's with movies, but sometimes drag shows.
I didn't fall asleep during any of the ones of the years before. This time I... Anyway. Back to the roast.
Moving swiftly along.
All right. So, let us do what we do best, and let's chat about RuPaul's Drag Race. We are going to chat season 14, the season that never seemed like it was going to end, even though it was only a couple of episodes longer than most normal seasons, but it felt like forever, and I don't know why. Did it feel that way for you all?
Yes, but I think I know why it didn't, or why it felt longer for you. I think it's because they didn't send anyone home, and that fundamentally breaks the show. Like, if you're not sending people home every week, we're not progressing, so we're just here.
Well, yes, and I will, so we will discuss that one piece when we talk about All-Star 7, because we will get there. But I think what it came down to is, first off, it was the frequency with which we were not sending queens home.
Yeah.
We've had non-elimination episodes, we've had double Shantae's, we've had all of this. I think what it came down to, the biggest thing, it was because RuPaul motherfucking lied to us. RuPaul walked into that fucking workroom, squeaky door and all, on episode 3. Walked down those stairs that did not have a handrail. And for a woman of her age, you should have a handrail. That is an OSHA violation. Walked up to those girls. Walked up to them girls. And lied to them. And said, this season, I am not saving anybody. Your fate is in the hands of the drag gods, and had them sign those fake ass candy bars that did not have anything in them. I swear they did not have anything in them until the producers put a gold bar in the one they wanted, and said the only way that you will that it face elimination and stay in the competition is if you have the gold bar. And that sounded good for the first couple of episodes, and then it was a lie. And then she was saving bitches. She was not sending anybody home. She was double Shantaying them. I like be upfront with us. Tell us, okay, like, don't say, I'm not saving anybody. Don't say that line. Just say, hey, listen, if you were up for elimination, you have a chance to remain in the competition if you have the golden ticket slash candy bar. And then that way, I mean, the season before it, literally, she sent Candy Muse home. The lady said, go home. And then she was like, Candy, Candy. I wanted her to say, oh, no, just kidding. Keep going. But she didn't. She said, I'm not done with you yet. And she saved her. That's her fucking prerogative. It's her fucking show. Like, you're producing a story. Do that. And I'm cool with that. But don't fucking lie to me and say, I'm not saving anybody. And then have an entire fucking month where one girl goes home. The entire month of February, one person went home. And that was Jasmine Kennedy. And I'm now going to call her Jasmine because of Race Chaser. But Jasmine was the only one that got sent home in the entire month of February. This show lasted from January through the middle of April. And in 1 month, we sent one girl home. So we had all of that time where you were doing bamboozlement, chicanery, and whatever it was, but you were saving them. Yeah. And that's what made me mad. Just be upfront and honest and tell me what the truth is.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about that. I mean, I'm just sharing my feelings right now. Not that some of the things, like, honestly, the Jasmine, was it Jasmine and George's lip sync where it was a double Shantae? It was a great performance. It was worthy. It deserved to have them both stay. But did we need to go 4 weeks and have one queen eliminated? I don't think so. I don't think so. Anyway. I'm going to digress because I want to get off of the soapbox for a minute and have you all talk, because we are going to dive into this kind of like we do on our deep dives of a TV show or a movie. There is so much to talk about in this episode, from the Snatch Game to the lip sync Lollapalooza to all of the mini challenges to the bubbly sponsorship to all of the amazingly blatant product placement. So we are going to do our highs. We're going to do our lows. Maybe we'll even chat about a couple of looks that tickled our fancy. And then we'll chat a little bit about the finale and what we think about how the new format went. How RuPaul was awkward just standing in the middle looking forward and not looking at the queens. And then what we thought about who won the series. So, spoiler alert, if you have not watched all 4,000 hours of season 14, turn back now. But I'm going to toss it to one of our guests here. Dan, why don't you give us some of your highlights from season 14 of RuPaul's Drag Race?
So my biggest highlight, I think, was like the third or fourth episode where they did that fake teaser. I absolutely loved how the entire teaser for the entire show was the fake teaser that they were creating, because they highlighted Kerry Colby screaming out so much before the season actually started. And I thought Cornbread was fantastic when she was rolling around on the floor. Willow was wonderful when she was just crawling across the table in this weird accent I didn't even understand. Like, it was just perfect in just such a wonderful way. I think that was the high point of the whole season for me. And it was probably Orion's story was still in the season. Orion's story, right?
Who?
Exactly.
Who? Like, Vitamin C?
God, she was still
tell
in the
me she didn't look like
that.
Vitamin C at the reunion. I'm just saying. Go back and look at her reunion look and pull up a picture of Vitamin C singing Graduation, parentheses, Friends Forever. And it's identical. Identical. Sorry. Back to you.
Yeah. No, like I honestly, I can't believe that was one of my favorite episodes with Orion still in the series. She's probably clearly one of my least favorite queens that has ever been on the show ever in life. What a dull personality.
Please tell me how you really feel about Orion.
you could have painted a large boulder and rolled it down a hill, and it would have done better in this competition than Orion's story did.
Put a third titty on it, and you're probably right.
Yeah. Oh my God, that three titty look was so terrible. Oh my Lanza. You know what? Go off, sis. Go off. Do your thing.
All right, we'll come back for some more highlights from you. Eric, what was a highlight for you from this season?
For me, I really liked the acting challenge, the Daytona Wind challenge. Oh. Although I will say that I didn't need quite as many fart jokes as they put into the final cut. I thought the acting and the kind of script was good enough. I didn't need all of the farts, but that may be a controversial opinion. I don't know.
Is it wrong to say that I still haven't watched that episode?
Yes. Scene, come That's, on.
Yes. I think it's probably one of the best acting challenges in Drag Race because they not only does it have a pretty decent script, they also took the time to make it look like an old soap opera from that time period by color grading it and everything and putting it in the right format. It was also my highlight. It was what I was going to say. I thought the farts were fine because I thought the way they snuck it into the dialogue to make it work, and the queens all acted this out totally seriously and didn't realize what was going to happen to them, which is, I think, just perfect.
I like they gave a little bit of a clue when Rue was like, I need you to like let each like dialogue just have a pause. Just let it like linger. Like going back, knowing that they do, it all fits. And it's like, oh, you guys. And Daytona Wind. I mean, it all worked. But yes, yeah. I agree.
I mean, it was also, I actually liked the way that RuPaul was directing it on set. I thought she was giving good acting advice. Well, good enough acting advice for a soap opera.
Commensurate with the star booty. I mean, really. Yeah. Level acting.
Exactly. Yeah.
Ben, AJ, and the Queen. Oh. That long-running series on Netflix.
Well, I mean, I guess long-running for a Netflix show now. Oh. Right.
You know what? Not wrong.
But yeah, that Daytona Wind episode was the first episode I realized Lady Camden was on the show. Yep. It's like, oh, you are here. That's so nice to see you.
And while Snatch Game was abysmal, I did enjoy the episode after, which was the lip sync Lollapalooza. So, I mean, if the Snatch Game had to give us something, it gave us that, which I thought was good.
But do you think that was planned all along?
Oh, it totally was that was going to happen sometime during the season. I don't think they necessarily saved it specifically for after the Snatch Game. Because they had an extra girl in there that they didn't need. So I think there was going to be this lip sync SmackDown elimination.
They probably knew that like there's a good chance that they're probably not going to pull off a great Snatch Game. Because Snatch Game overall has been like really uneven in the history of Drag Race, but lately especially. So I think it was like, this is probably a good place to do this, but then they leaned into that storyline of like, y'all need to be reevaluated or whatever. Michelle's whole
the investigation continues.
Her select committee on why the queens can't do good characters.
Oh my God, that runway had the best line of the entire fucking season for me. I don't think I've laughed so hard or so loud as after RuPaul was talking to Georges, and then she says, you know, I know that you get down on yourself, but you shouldn't feel bad. You all did equally as bad in the challenge. And I fucking lost my mind, laughed my ass off. I was like, that is so, that is being like, girl, listen, we're our own worst enemies and our own worst critics. But it was warranted because you were sucky as hell. Like, it was just taking her and trying, like, you think that it's going to be like, I'm going to uplift you. No, she just kept kicking her while she was down. And it made me laugh so much. And I loved it for that. I posit a theory, though. Yes, there have been some not great performances and some mediocre performances in Snatch Game throughout the history of Snatch Game. You know, obviously, we look at the history of Beyonce in the Snatch Game, from Kenya Michaels to Asia.
Tyra.
I have a feeling, I've got a theory that it's a demon, a dancing demon. No, something isn't right there. I think they were hoping for two good performances at a Snatch Game and having two queens to be able to sit out, a la All Stars 4, when they did. It wasn't, yeah. And I know it wasn't necessarily the bottoms, but when you had Manila and Monet be the top two, and then they had the eliminated queens do the Lollapalooza to try to get back into the competition. If you had two strong performances, you have two queens sit out, and then you have the remainder as sets of two, and then you're able to lip sync and do the same format. Whether or not it meant that they were all so shitty in Snatch Game, but it didn't have to be that they were all so shitty in Snatch Game. You could have had middle of the road performances. You could have had, these were bottom performances. And then you could have separated, hey, these two girls have earned safety in the next round. And then we're going to do this Lollapalooza.
Well, I mean, also, if they had just eliminated one person that episode, it also would have lined up to the right number of girls. So they could have been expecting it just to be a regular Snatch Game and one person go home. And then the next week they would have just done the Lollapalooza anyways.
But that person probably would have been Jasmine. And they don't want to get rid of Jasmine before a Lollapalooza.
True. And the thing is, they tend in the history of, or there aren't enough instances, I think, to really call it history. But when they've done something like this before, there is usually a safe queen or a safe set of queens who are able to sit out, that kind of, that have earned their right to continue on in the competition while everybody else has to battle for their spot in the competition. So I think if you had Deja win, and then, or Deja and a Camden or a Daya or whoever be, you know, that second, you both were the top two queens of this challenge, you've earned safety. The rest of you, of the queens, will compete next week. Then you would have had two on two on two on two, right? Whatever it was. I think it would, I forget how many queens were at that point. At that point, there were still 75 queens in the competition. And, you know, it'd be set up that way because you had a threesome in the lip sync, which didn't need to be a three-way lip sync. Although it led to Rue's second shadiest comment attached to both of these episodes when Michelle said, that was like seduction up there. And then Rue turned to her and said, if only seduction was that good. I mean, come on. Rue had some fucking shady-ass zingers and they were amazing. But it would have been interesting to see how it would have been done. But they also have to, since it wasn't RuPaul songs, they had to license these songs beforehand. So they knew that they were going to do a lip sync SmackDown, which for some of these queens, it worked and it should have been done. I just think they kind of were pigeonholed into everybody else bombed. We had one person safe, so we're going to have to set it up this way. Joel, what other highlights besides that did you have?
So I'm sitting here racking my brain trying to pick one that I think was better than the others. Was it good necessarily? No, but I did enjoy the Moulin Rouge episode. I thought it was fun. The rumor is that it was supposedly originally meant for All-Star 6, right? Is what it was supposed to be.
I think I heard something like that on Ray Chaser.
Yeah. And that it was held off till now. The only bummer about it was that none of them can sing. So they were like, no, y'all just lip sync this one. We're not recording y'all. That was the only bummer, but I did enjoy the overall like idea of it. It's a bummer that Bosco fought so hard to fail though.
At this point you should know, don't fight that hard for anything on the show because it will be your downfall.
They set her up. Well, he set herself up to fail, but they also, I hate this production influence because I don't think she did bad at all. Yeah. And admittedly, I am a fan of Bosco, but I really don't think she did bad. Would Lady Camden have done better? Yeah, probably. I think she's a stronger actor, but she also, because of all of that, was the perfect role for her. Yeah. So, I mean, but that's such a storyline bleed through, and I know that that somewhat influences the every. It's just that's where I really my inner I hate this show, I love this show, the I hate this show really comes up, and yeah. Anyway, but I like that you guys took all the good ones. By the way, I just want you to know you're leaving.
Let's segue into some highlights from you, Brian. What else do you got?
I mean, I think the only other one that I really liked the concept of, but the execution less so, was the 60s group, because there have been a few things this season that were so new to the show and ideas for maxi challenges. And I have long complained that not only is the show stale, but like they keep going back to the same well for these challenges. And it's like this season and other instances before this, but this season really, like they went back to the drawing board, and these challenges to like showcase a little bit of history that the younger viewers may not be as familiar with is always welcome. And I love that. And to you're talking about the Rusical, the Moulin Rouge, having Leslie Jordan, who's I think been in the show at least a few times, right? But featuring him in such a it was so lovely. And so I'm such a fan of his work and everything. So it's like I love when the show goes to that well. I love when the show finds ways to make some fresh content with these queens from like 60s, like girl groups, like again. So I think I like the idea that the actual like performances, well, you know, they tried their hardest. I don't remember. There was one that was good. What was the one group of those three that were good?
Bosco, Hello, and Diabetic. And that was the episode where I started to fall in love with Diabetic.
Mm. Like, so you're a Dia fan. Oh, love it.
Absolutely love her, love her, love her. Should she have won? No, absolutely not, but I loved her.
Well, and so it's interesting because I have friends who did not like Dia at all and kept saying, oh, she's getting the villain edit, she's doing this, doing that. And I'm like, yeah, but I mean, she's being honest, and it's also she's being kind of like playing into the caddy. I mean, she knew what she was sounding like. I don't think she was like Bosco where she tried to be this conniving person for airtime. Dia a little bit, I think, leaned in, but didn't go like full on stupid, like mustache twirling villain, right? But I like Dia a lot, and I think that bore through to her being in the finale. Those are my picks. So.
I mean, I think Dia had a good antagonist voice on the show. The only issue I had with her was really between her and Jasmine, because I think she went overly hard on Jasmine every episode.
I hate Jasmine, so I'm okay with that. I cannot stand Jasmine. Like the force of a billion suns is just every time she would talk and talk and talk, I just was like, I don't hate people at all. Like I usually don't like have that one person who I'm like, ah, fuck that person. But Jasmine was totally that for me. So I was cheering Dia on the whole time.
See, I understood everything that Dia was saying. Like, people hated on her so much, but it very much was she was saying what everyone is thinking. But everyone is so conflict averse. Like, that's part of what I dislike about the show as it's gone on, is that now everyone is just so in tune with their feelings and having good, normal conversations. Very Gen Z, we're all mini therapists. And it's just so exhausting. Fight. Like, just have a screaming match with each other. And they just like, we're never going to do it. And Diabetes was the only one who was ever saying anything interesting. And then Deja Sky is like, yeah, please go ahead and have a great conversation. Good. Yes. Feel those feelings. And it was so obnoxious. But like with every time Diabetes would speak about like Jasmine or Georges, it's like, yes, you are a skinny girl who has very basic drag and are getting like fisted by Rube. Like she loves you so much and it doesn't make any sense. Whereas Diabetes is coming in there with a clear artistic vision, worked her ass off, clearly spent some money and time while Georges put cookie cutters on her tits. Like, what is this? Like,
listen, don't forget that RuPaul signed up to be an organ donor for Georges. Okay.
Yes.
Valid. But just that general concept, like that's why Untucked is so not interesting anymore, is that people aren't willing. It's like what you were talking about earlier, is that, you know, they're all so aware that they're on TV and they're so also aware of the social media life that they'll have afterwards. But think about all the queens that have screamed and yelled, like Raven and Detox, like, and Laganja, like everyone loves them. And they were so not in tune with their feelings and just said whatever the hell they wanted to. And it was actually interesting to watch. Like, if people just kind of like let their therapist stay at home, we might actually have an interesting TV show again.
Do we have to lump Raven in there?
Well, remember when she yelled at Mimi on First?
Do we,
but everybody yelled at Mimi.
Do we need to like her?
Yeah, everyone yelled at Mimi.
Valid point.
I 100% agree with you because I was it on the reunion that somebody pointed out and they were like, Daya said everything we were saying off camera, just on camera. And when you go, if you were ever in a drag queen's dressing room, the shit that they say to each other and the shit that happens and the fights that happen, it's, you know, we say, you know, or Bianca loves to kind of throw the little side eye to it, you know, oh, she's my sister. Like, it really kind of is that little sisterhood. And families fight, families have disagreements, and you're putting them under this microscope and putting them on camera. Let them fucking fight and let them sort it out and let them, you know, figure things out. And what we're watching was a year ago. You know, obviously, apparently there were some things and that were not discussed before Jasmine was working at Roscoe's here down the street from me. Roscoe's got so much free advertisement in the reunion episode. It wasn't even funny. But the fact that the world has decided that social media has decided we are the judge, jury, and executioner of what these conversations are and these people's characters based off of this television show. It's ridiculous. No one should ever be subjected to death threats and harassment like this. And I mean, we've said it when we've talked about some of these conversations back to, you know, All Stars 2 and the whole Fifi O'Hara, you know, formerly known as Fifi, Jeremy, instance of getting abuse, and even the conversation that they had on the show of, you know, people saying they wanted to throw acid in her face and all this bullshit. Like, that's just ridiculous. I don't think Daya was necessarily doing it for the screen time or came in there with a plan of being that way. I think she was just caught up in the moment. It was just didn't put a filter on and was saying what she was saying. And it was great television. Now, you know, Dan, to your point, we get one or two moments every Untucked season where we're like, okay, let's go watch this. You know, you have the heartfelt moment where Jasmine, you know, comes out as trans, and you have the fight moment where Jasmine fights with Maddie. Like, those are like those two big moments. Can you tell me anything else that stood out from Untucked or that you watched Untucked for any other reason? You know, it's tough. Dan, do you have any other highlights that you want to point out from this season?
I would say the relationship between Willow and Cornbread I thought was really beautiful to witness. I loved that. And just like the general sisterhood of everyone minus Orion's story, who didn't seem to care. But like it was like everyone.
But she was in a showmance with Georges.
Girl. Sure, why not? But no, I particularly love the relationship between Cornbread and Willow. And like, I loved watching Cornbread at Roscoe's, like, and her reaction to Willow winning. I just thought it was so beautiful and cute. It's really disappointing that Cornbread's not going to be on season 15, but I have conspiracy theories about that as well that have nothing to do with her ankle. No.
Maybe we'll dive into that later. We'll see. Eric, any other highlights you want to bring up?
I think most of the really good ones have been said. I thought that the Menses' drag panel wasn't bad. I don't think it was as good as like the Pink Table Talks from one of the All-Star Six. Was that it? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think there was still some heartfelt stuff shared on it, and I thought it was a good episode. I didn't think it was a great episode. I just thought it was good, but we're at that point where we've said all the really good stuff, I think.
Joel, any other highlights for you?
there's one, and I just want to call it out. I am by no means a Georgia stan, but that first lip sync with her and Orion Story, from just the way she stands at the beginning of the lip sync, I was like, oh, she's about to murder this poor girl on the stage. And I think about that all the time, just the little crossed legs as she stood there ready to start. And that's it. Yeah, that's all I got on that.
Oh, Eric, that was the last episode of Drag Race we watched together. We saw that at Savoy on the Paradise Patio at Savoy before we went to Dive/Southern and watched Willow perform from the DJ booth with her house on her head. It was great. Mm-hmm. Brian, any last highlights?
No, I think the finale is probably the only other thing I can reference, and we're going to talk about that. So, yeah.
All right. All right. I will say I did like the DragCon panel. I wish it was done like the first time they did it in season 10, where it was separate not categories, but separate topics, mm-hmm. where you had like the hair, makeup, body type of breakdown. And I think it maybe was because of the number of queens that were left. You know, we were left with an even number, so we couldn't break it up into more than... It would either be four panels of two or two panels of four. And I think that it was a very odd mixture. It felt like they were trying to mix the Pink Table Talk and the DragCon panel, because when they did the DragCon panels before, and if you've been to DragCon, if you've been to any convention where there's panels... We're not really looking for heartfelt, emotional, like, conversation. We're looking for fun and laugh and jokey and all that. Like, we got proportionizing out of the season 10 challenge. Like, that was great. It was fun. You know, Monique's laugh was, like, showcased, you know, the... like, it's great moments like that that are just fun. I didn't necessarily need to have that emotional piece of it in a DragCon panel, in a challenge like that. Especially when you don't have an audience there to kind of interact with it. You're just doing this for the judging panel, which I think is a hindrance to a lot of these challenges that are done on the main stage. When you don't have that audience there to kind of absorb and react, it's a little bit different. Like, I felt like Bosco was hamming it up to Rue, and I'm still a little mad. I love the Electric Boogaloo reference, because anytime there's ever a two... The first thing that comes to my mind and out of my mouth is Electric Boogaloo. But I'm mad that she flipped it and she said Electric Boogaloo part two and didn't say, you know, Menzies's part two, Electric Boogaloo. But that's because she's like 12 and, you know, this is a reference for anybody over the age of like 35, 37. But she tried and I applaud that. The Ross Matthews roast, while it did have some challenges... There were some great moments to that. Honestly, Bosco's joke about, you know, after last week when Rue, the judges panel, the other contestants, the camera crew all told me to go home, you know, like things like that. And then I will sit here right now and I will defend Lady Camden and that yelling into Ross Matthews' asshole joke. I thought that was funny. I didn't care that there were three setups. I was with it the entire fucking way.
I thought Willow's Lady Camden joke about her being the product of a brother and sister was pinnacle. The absolute best. That was the best joke I've ever heard on that show. I absolutely loved it.
I will say that I was tickled with Bosco's, Ross is not a top. He's a blouse.
Like that was classic. Love it.
Yeah, that was good. Like, when that roast was good, it was good.
Yeah.
When that roast wasn't good,
it was Georgia.
It walked off stage. It was Georgia. Oh, poor Georgia's. Like, I don't know. Has that girl just not been away from home that long? Like, I know she's 12, but like, for real though, she was just so ready to go home at that point. It wasn't even funny.
She wanted to get plowed out by her two boyfriends. Good for her.
She was like, she's like, I have not been ticked down in a while and I need this. Let's go. She's like, can I get that ticket back to Nashville? I was like, where is she from again?
Do y'all remember do y'all remember the reading challenge?
Oh yeah.
I only remember right. I only remember one read from that whole thing, and that was Bosco's last one, where she I loved it though. It was the first time
It is so old.
I've never heard it. I thought it was hilarious. Okay, so that was completely unoriginal.
It but this her setup, it's an old joke, but done in a Drag Race way. Yeah. Where the whole she found RuPaul's will and she wants you all to carry her down the runway so you can let her down one last time. That I mean it was cute and it worked in a Drag Race way. But yeah, it is such a rehashed joke. Yeah. But yeah, I wish I remembered the reading challenge because I know that there were a couple of reads that were good in that. I think Bosco overall was good in that challenge. Did she win it?
Yes. Yeah, she won every comedy challenge.
Funny queen. Very funny queen. And one of Tranos's gems on her gauntlet, and I fucking live. I will also highlight for me was, in a sense, the catwalk episode, the final song, because they actually let the girls design an outfit and had it made for them. I thought, like, apparently we'll get to the finale, but apparently they were given a budget and were able to work with, like, given the tools to work with people to have stuff created for them. And it's nice to see that happen. I can understand making it for, like, the challenges. Although, like, I swear that the ball just needs to not be, like, the second episode or the first episode. We don't need 4,000 queens on that stage walking three categories. It's just too much. Sensory overload. But those challenges, I can understand them making it themselves. And you know that if you're going on Drag Race season 475, fucking learn how to sew something. Hot glue something. Make an outfit out of something. But for them to be able to work with or like sketch out a design and be like, here, make this. And I'm sure they were able to be like, hey, I would like it to be shiny. I would like it to be this type of material. It was fantastic. And most of the outfits were awesome. Like that was just really, it was really nice to see them be able to be set up for success in that and not have it be and show and for them to show that piece of it. Because obviously we know that in like the girls, the 60s girl group, they were given outfits because you got to all match and all that. But to see the sketches and see that they were able to do this, I thought that was really cool.
What I like when Drag Race finds a way to really use actual drag skills, and part of that is design, whether you're the executor or you're selling or you're finding someone to make it for you, like that is a absolutely necessary skill. Kind of like back when they did Club 96 or whatever. Oh like
Club 96.
I love that challenge because it's absolutely a drag queen thing that they all sometimes have to come in and reinvent a night. And so again, like those moments when they align so well, in addition to all the obvious, like, you know, comedy and acting and all that, I love that. And that's useful. And that's interesting. It's the challenges that are like, I didn't have a bad, I can't think of a good example, but the ones that are just like, what are they doing? Why are you doing this? This is stupid. I love that they showed that. And for a queen, and at that point, I think all those queens had done that previously with other people, had brought a lot of other collaborators work with them. Like, if could you imagine if it was like a Maddie and she made it that far and she got to design her own thing and have that built made for her? I wonder if they got to keep them. I feel like that would have been probably not, but like that would have been pretty cool.
Probably. I mean, how many other 17-foot-tall drag queens are going to fit into Diabetti's outfit?
That's true. Yeah, I mean, it's all probably in their contract. They're probably itemizing the expense and they're you're going to owe us your soul for another few months.
For sure.
That was really neat.
They were like, Snag Tights is footing the bill for these outfits. It's fine.
Yeah, right.
All right. So we've talked highlights. Let's talk some lowlights. Let's go back around the other way. Brian, what were some not-so-special moments of season 14 for you?
Did we already mention Jasmine a few times? Because, we talked about this before. I don't want to go way into it again. I think the way they handled Maddie being on the show is good. I wish Maddie could get out of her own shell a bit more and be more of the queen who I see on Instagram like all the time, because she's amazingly entertaining. If you're not on Matty Morphis's Instagram. It's like Instagram or TikTok, you know, they cross pollinate, right? Her content is spot on amazing. But I don't know. That whole thing was so awkward and weird about, you know, oh, you're cisgendered, or sorry, not cisgendered. You're, well, that too, but you're heterosexual. Oh, what's that like? It was like,
it wasn't even that technical. It was like, so you're straight.
Yeah. Well, right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. You're right. But I mean, it was just like, oh,
and
come
then,
on.
And it cuts to all the other queens. Go,
yeah. I don't know. And then none of us believe that he's entirely, you know, but that's our prerogative, as you know, gay men, to always assume somebody is probably not entirely straight. gosh, I don't know. I mean, other than like certain personalities, and the production rearing its ugly head. Oh, wait, no, sorry. I'm going to take this one because you guys took all the good ones. Both horrifying and also somewhat amusing after a while. The chocolate bar. The Willy Wonka drag race element was the fail horn. Then it's chocolate. Which, have any of you seen some of the memes that they did with that? Okay, so I think my favorite is something like when the bottom doesn't remember to douche before, you know, the date, and then it's Maddie, and it's like it's chocolate.
Is together your favorite place to be. Cook a Disney themed meal with your family. Easy peasy to make and well balanced too. There's an Ocado just for you.
Feed a family of four for £8 or less with Ocado's new Disney inspired meal bundles.
There's an Ocado just for you.
Subject to availability, geographical restrictions and delivery charges apply. Minimum trolley spend £40. Full T's and C's at Ocado.com.
And like that, every time I would see the reveal, I would just think of that meme and it made me laugh out loud. It was so dumb. But dumb gimmick, and totally agree. It's a production conceit. They weren't actually like when did they need it? And I will say, if anyone had to get it, Bosco, because Bosco is amazing, and that whole whatever was just a catastrophe. She did not deserve to go home. Thank God the drag gods smiled upon her that day, and she got the golden ticket or whatever the fuck the thing was. Anyway, yeah, I think that needs to never come back. Can we all agree that that's just like, come on, just own it. Yeah. You don't need a MacGuffin. You don't need a whatever that is. Get out of jail free card. Just do like you do it. Like you said earlier, do like you're doing already. Save people you want to save, and just own it.
Yeah.
Have you heard Bob talk about it? Like Bob describing the candy bar rules. It's this whole thing. I'll have to try to find it and either post it on the page or search it on YouTube. But it's along the lines of like, so if it's chocolate, then you go home. But if there's nougat, then you get to replace yourself with one of the other girls in the lip sync. And then if it's Krispies, then you get to host the show. Like, it goes through all like this ridiculous list of like different candy fillings and all of these like off the wall rules that it could be. And honestly, that's what I want for next season.
Yeah.
Is a whole like random set of rules on what happens depending on what is in your chocolate bar.
What if they put the queens on a giant roulette roulette table and spin them, and then that's how they decide who gets stuck?
They did that in episode one. And,
yeah.
Oh, God, you're right.
Cornbread just shifts and it spins back the other way.
Yeah. What drove me
nuts about the chocolate bar thing is that the jig was up the moment that they said it. Because imagine if June Jambalaya got the golden ticket.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So so the whole thing would have just been for nothing. Like, it was very obviously not going to be that moment that they were claiming it to be. So it just, the jig was up. It was pointless. It was very obviously, production was saying in the quietest way possible, this is rigged.
Yeah.
I also think having it happen after they've already been sent home just like felt like another kick in the nuts to the queen. It's just like, come on, they're already going home. Just let them go home.
Yep,
like, I almost wish it was the idea that Bob is joking about of like, maybe the candy bar happens before the lip sync. And if you do have this gold candy bar, you can take someone else and swat them in. Like, that would almost be more interesting.
I like that.
you or- get, you, there's like three that are floating around and you don't know which three have it. That would be more interesting than what we were given.
Yeah. Or if like, if you do get the golden ticket, you get to re-lip sync against someone of your choice.
That would also be good.
And then you could send a bitch home instead of you, but you have to earn it. That I could get on board with.
Yeah.
But I just feel so bad for June Jambalaya because that girl like hot footed it and was sweating. And like that last image of her with the, it's chocolate, just sweat dripping down her face, like, you know, messing up her makeup. Like, I'm just like, damn. Like, I mean, she had a fucking glow up and a half between the reunion and the finale episodes. Gorgeous. Looked fucking stunning. But for that, like, that pussycat wig, that bus driver wig named the Helen, like, it was just so bad. It was such a bad look for that to be her final moment on the show before coming back, like, out of the filmed portion. Or, you know, from last year. I just, yeah. Although I do like Alyssa Hunter's is chocolate. I love it.
Talk about injustice to Puerto Rican queens.
Right? Mm.
My people. Gosh. My people have not had a good run on the show. Aside from, like, Alexis.
Yeah.
And she still gets shafted at any point in time as she gets closer to the end.
Is Vangie
where there's an Alexis, there's an India.
Vangie's not Puerto Rican, right?
Yeah.
Maybe
she had a pretty good run.
I don't quite know.
But I mean, she didn't say she was like from the island.
Oh, she didn't own it. Like,
I mean,
Alexis,
she wasn't currently on.
Yeah. She's New York performing on the island.
Yeah, she's your people. That's
she's yeah. You know, she, yeah, that's even yeah, even more my people, the New Yorkers. when you've got like an Alyssa and Alexis Mateo, like the queens that have like the thick, heavy accents, especially. Alexis Mateo being one of the few that like really had a heavy accent, that she made final three in season three. And then
Yara Sofia was also up there.
Yeah, I'm not sure what
Yara's from a parallel universe. She's just fucking nuts.
Oh, that too. I mean, that too, for sure.
Something happened on the transit and it just messed her up. Yeah.
I love Yara. Yara's crazy. She's Yara Sofia-ing about the workroom.
She's a slightly saner Tammy Brown is what I read that as. You know, slightly. Just very slightly.
Very slightly.
And way funnier, too, by the way. Yeah.
I was like, I don't know which one. Like, all right.
I know. It's a Sophie. Yeah.
All right. Joel, what were some low light? What was a low light for you from this season?
We already kind of mentioned it. It was Untucked. Like just like halfway through, just stopped watching. It was just like, I'm good. I think the one time it was interesting, they even told you in the episode you had to watch Untucked because they were like, hey, Jasmine and Maddie are fighting right now. Go watch it in Untucked.
Oh, that's right. That's like one of the few times that they actually cut a scene of Untucked into the show.
Yeah, because they were like, hey, y'all don't watch this, but watch this one, please. So, yeah. We already said either like, we need to start encouraging the queens to be allowed to be able to be messy and not face fan backlash, or I don't know, figure out something else to do with Untucked that makes it more interesting to watch than them just sitting back there airing themselves out.
Yeah. If you're not watching Untucked, you're only getting 98% of the story.
I mean, if you want to make Untucked interesting, only cast queens who don't pass the psychological exam.
This is also true.
Plain and simple.
Oh my god. This is RuPaul's best friend race. What? No. Oh, sorry. Yeah. No, that's what happens. Oh god. All right, Eric, throw us a low light from you.
For me, the low light was probably not everyone, but the talent shows in the first two episodes. Episode two was not a good at all. I mean, half of the girls lip synced to not original music, just random song.
Yeah.
And it wasn't good. Like, I mean, the only good person was Angeria out of that group.
Whoa. Hold on. Willow's was also spectacular.
No. Out of episode two.
I thought she did that.
Willow was in episode one.
Oh, that's right, because they split it up. You're right. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
And the whole fact that they sent someone home in each of the first two episodes. Because on season 13, no one went home the first three episodes. And that was fine.
The lady said, go home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everyone said, was sent to the pork chop loading dock. No. But no one went home the first three episodes, which was fine because they phrased it that way. Like, I mean, that was what it was. If they had, in the first two episodes this time, just done a top two and lip synced, and that was fine. But the whole sending someone home and then bringing them back the third episode, that just set the whole season off for me. Like, I don't know. It was just, ugh.
Dan, what about some of the lights from you?
Definitely Snatch Game. But mainly because the winner, like, I am not a Deja Sky stan in any sense of the word, except for her performance in Moulin Rouge, I thought was really wonderful. But what a lackluster and dry Snatch Game performance that she won. She benefited so hard from just everyone sucking. And it was just...
It was only good by comparison. That was...
Yeah. I
enjoyed her yelling out "Yeah!" all the time, but
yeah. But did we need it at the reunion? No.
"Yeah!" we did.
Look, she had one thing. They couldn't reference anything else at the reunion. Come on now.
Right. But I would say my other low light would just be the finale in general. Not the winner, but the finale. I appreciated switching up the format, but yeah, we'll get to that later.
Snatch Game, and I mean, there's all the conspiracy theories out there saying, well, maybe it was just edited to be that bad so that way they could do the Lollapalooza and all this. And I mean, I said it in the first half of our conversation. I don't think that was needed because they were going to do this lip sync SmackDown regardless, whether or not everybody was horrible. I don't think was a matter of it being the be-all and end-all to do the Lollapalooza. When you have Queens in the confessionals, which are recorded afterwards, you know, they film Monday through Thursday or Monday through Friday, and then on Saturday they do their confessionals. When they have the Queens talking about how, you know, the set was quiet and, you know, Rue isn't laughing at the jokes and these things, like, I don't think they're going to be sitting there in the chair and saying that if it wasn't true. You know what I mean? Like, there's a little bit of extra, like, credence to how bad it was. I think we're getting to a point where, like, the being cognizant of social media and not wanting to have death threats being sent to them. Really, what it comes down to is we need to just stop the fandom. Like, let the queens be the queens. Like, could we go back 10 years to, like, around a season 4 or 5 era where it was popular within, you know, the queer culture and didn't have this massive broad appeal where everybody feels that they are entitled to say whatever they want, including sending nasty messages and death threats. But it's kind of become, let's look like the character that we want to play, but not really know how to make them funny in this situation, to take them and be able to be kind of ridiculous and funny with it. Watch Bianca on the pit stop from that episode, and she talks about, like, the mindset that you should have when you're doing the Snatch Game and how it's, you take that character and then you just kind of, you know, you're really just making jokes based off of what the questions are that volley with Rue. And we've seen it be a challenge even for some of the best queens on the show. You know, you look at somebody like Latrice went through Snatch Game twice and bombed it both times because she could not pull herself out of being concerned about what everybody else is doing, that it throws her completely off. In this respect, in this Snatch Game, some of them just were all about, like, the look and being the person and not playing in the game, not being a part of the game. I think
some of them tried to outthink the game as well. Yeah. Like, Bosco was trying to be way too intellectual about it and tried to overprepare, I think, and then tried to fit in everything that she had prepared into where it didn't fit. But, I mean, I think a couple of the choices could have been good. I think Diabetes Ozzy Osbourne could have been really good. She just didn't do anything with it. And okay, I think William Shakespeare is a good choice. I didn't understand the way Lady Camden did it, though.
Okay, and I know this guy, again, I actually watched The Pit Stop, I think, for this almost this entire season. Monet Exchange did a great job hosting. Yes, although it would be fantastic if Bob hosted next season for All-Star 7 and gets to critique Monet every week. It'd be great. But could we just point out the fact that the first thing that Diabetti did as Ozzy Osbourne was an Australian thing, where she was like, Ozzy, 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 oi, oi, oi. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing, ma'am? What is this?
Like, has he ever done that on stage? Maybe outside of Australia? Probably not.
But, like, literally, if I feel like Daya typed in, like, Ozzy, and that chant came up, it was like, I'm going to incorporate this. This will be fun. And has nothing to do with Ozzy Osbourne. Is not, like, in any way, shape, or form connected to Ozzy. I literally at that point I was like, okay, you're done. I'm done with you, Daya. Please just sit over there and copy off of Jasmine. Not Jasmine, Bosco, the entire time, and have horrible answers as well. I will say that I did like the kombucha joke and bringing up that weird, I don't even know what was in it, but it looked disgusting.
It's just tough with Snatch Game because, I mean, people just need to make sure, or these queens just need to make sure that their references are going to be things that RuPaul understands. Because RuPaul isn't necessarily so hip on modern culture.
Yeah.
It was like when a season or two ago somebody did Poppy during the Smash game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but
I will challenge that because I don't have your same concerns. Gigi in that same season did Maria the Robot, and Rue had no concept of it whatsoever, and she fucking killed it.
Sure.
If you're funny, you're funny. If you play off of Rue and you make her laugh, it doesn't matter if they know the reference. But if you were just basing it off of your character references and not making it work with the jokes and the questions, then you're not gonna win.
Yeah.
No matter what. You can do a great, because even the queens that are not the queens, the judges were like, I didn't really know Poppy, but then when I went, you know, afterwards I went and I looked up Poppy and I was like, oh, this all makes sense now. If you just make jokes that are funny jokes, you can still do well even if Rue doesn't know it. But I do agree with you that Rue is very much about her references. And if you pick one that is a solid reference for her, you have a much easier time to make her laugh because she knows who you are.
But then again, you can't be too on the nose with it because, like, when somebody picks Rue McClanahan and then can't do anything with it.
Like, that gets into a whole thing of, like, people just not knowing how to play the Snatch Game. Because, like we said, there is a, like, formula to it. And I think if you look at, like, a Bob in his season or a, Alaska in All Stars 2, there is a way to play this where you're playing the character but still being able to be in the moment, being able to answer the questions and joke and volley back and forth. But when you've laid out this itinerary of this is who I'm gonna play and this is what I'm gonna say, you're gonna fail. And that's too often, I think, what they go and they're doing, or just playing not knowing the person that they're trying to portray. Tammy Brown.
Yeah, like in that outfit, I could only see Wanda Sykes. That's all I saw. And
there were so many Tammy Brown quotes just from the show, not even from like her life outside of Drag Race, but just from season one, All Stars one, the reunion of season one, like, you know, the teleport me to Mars, or the I'm acting, or change your outfit, change it around. Like, there are so many things that we will constantly say that are Tammy Brownisms. walking children in nature. Like, how do you not tell RuPaul that you don't see her out there walking children in nature if you are on the Snatch Game with RuPaul and you're being Tammy Brown? Like, how do you not do that?
Mm-hmm. So wild. And Lady Camden was a really frustrating one there, too, because it's like Shakespeare is a blank canvas and you managed to throw no paint on that canvas at all. Like, what? How did you miss? How? You could have said anything.
I mean, she could have thrown paint on it and made it look like RuPaul's nose on that challenge when they had to do the Dolly and RuPaul paintings. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Those.
All right. Well, let's swing over into the finale. Dan, you kind of mentioned this as being a low light. Why don't you kick us off with some thoughts on the finale itself?
Well, the very fact that it was five queens was frustrating enough for me to hate it from the start. One highlight of this lowlight is that they all got to do their individual things. I liked that callback to season 8. They got to do their original songs. It was just too bad that they all were terrible, except for Willow.
I liked Camden's. I
like Camden's.
I liked Camden's.
Yeah, it was fine. Sure, do the reference again. Cool. But it just like... I just found them all so uninteresting. Diabetes' look was really fantastic. I think she should have been in the top with Willow. But just this whole live finale thing, I'm over it. I'm really over it. Perez Hilton truly ruined it for all of us. I think the All-Stars finales where they really do just kind of release it, like in that moment, that's perfect. I don't need any of this live stuff. It just goes to show like production helps these girls so much in a positive way and really helps the show and the storyline move, because it feels like we hit like a wall at the end of the season and we accomplish nothing. I don't know. Not a fan.
I think that the finale does a couple of good things in that, because it's so far after the season, you get to see the glow up of everyone when they come back, which I think is a really good thing to end the season on, which before was achieved by doing a reunion after the fact, which they could still do and then have the finale filmed as part of the regular season of filming.
That I would love.
See, the only thing I will say is I can see both sides of it. I do love the fact that the reunion is now separated from the finale and it's filmed the day after, because you will notice they now have the top queens not really talk as much during the reunion because Shea Coulee ruined that for everybody in season 9, because that is the most amazing reunion special ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Mm-hmm. Because Shea Coulee knew in that reunion, which was aired before the finale, she knew at that reunion she was not winning. She knew she was knocked out in 3rd/4th place. She did not give a flying fuck when she walked into, when they filmed that reunion the next day. She walked into that reunion and said, I'm going to be a salty bitch if I want to be a salty bitch, because I'm not winning that $100,000 no matter what.
She woke up and chose violence.
She chose violence.
Yeah.
I'm not angry. Do I sound angry? her going off on Valentina, putting her in her place was the best fucking thing. Every minute, every morsel that came out of Shea Coulee's mouth fed the children for years to come. Yeah. And I love that. But if you notice, the top queens, the top 17 out of the season, they don't talk much in the reunion. And it's, I think, by design, because they don't want it to look like, oh, well, Daya, Angie, and Bosco don't have a chance at winning, so they can just run off at the mouth if they want to. So, Joel, what was your thought on the finale?
I enjoyed it overall. I'm a fan of the live ones because I think previous ones have been a lot better than this one. Pat, you pointed it out earlier, RuPaul was facing forward the whole time, not acknowledging the other queens. And I think that was the big problem with this one, is it was weirdly segmented, even though they were 6 feet on the stage from each other. Like, it needed that, I think the season 4 finale had, where it was like RuPaul just talking and chatting with them versus this weird, like, we're going to do this now. Now we're going to do this. Now we're going to do this. Also, the clip packages need to go. They didn't work in season 11. I don't think they worked in this one either, except for Willow's, where she did the like 70s thing. That was the funniest one. But overall, I enjoyed the individual performances for the most part. And I think, like we said, it's a cool idea to highlight them in that way. Apparently, they had inputs on the songs. You know, according to Race Chaser, they said they had input on the song that they were singing or lip syncing to. And I thought the performances were good for the most part on all of those, except for some. But and I don't know. I thought the like the Las Vegas stage is beautiful, and I love how it works and how it's an LED screen and what they could do with it. I thought that was really awesome. It sucks that theater is not meant to be shot in, though, and you can tell that from how they had to try to figure out angles in that place.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Brian, what are your thoughts on the finale?
So I will be honest, I did not watch the finale. I watched clips from the finale because everyone had already kind of ruined it for me by, you know, social media, not, you know, and hearing that people were like, yeah, this is not a great finale. So, and this actually happened with Gottmik season two, because I was delayed in watching it ruined. And then I was like, you know what, I'm just going to watch the stuff I care about. Right. So I did watch all the performances. So I will focus on that. I really love Willow's, and I really love Daya's, and I, of course, love Bosco's, because if you come at me with seraphim accurate to the biblical descriptions with mouths all over your body and detachable and crazy wings everywhere, like, you got me. I think we've somehow, I don't know why, but I feel like we've talked about angels and their bizarreness on the show before. Yeah. And so keeping with that theme. I already love Bosco, but that was a great, great performance. The others
were... Her headpiece was fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. The others were fine. I don't think they stood out to me as much as these three. But overall, very happy with Willow as the winner. We didn't say we're spoiling. Even though I would have been happy, honestly, with Bosco, Camden, Akira, like, they all were...
Angeria. Oh my God! Angeria and Akira are not the same person.
No, the names are too close. God, as soon as it came out of my mouth,
send all that hate mail to Brian at playmonster.com.
Please do. They all were excellent choices overall. I would have been happy and fine with any of them. And I don't always say that, by the way, of course. But this season specifically. But yeah, those three were my favorites of their performances.
Can I say one thing, Brian, about Bosco's? I do wish, rather than like the molded monster look underneath, I wish she would have done what one of the Espana queens did, where they were Lucifer after falling. Like, it was like naked, and I wish, since the song was about devil in my head, I wish it would have revealed to her like naked and with like the broken wings, which would have been cooler. But she did what she did, and I was just like, oh, okay.
I like that. I actually really like that arc. I Bosco is such a... Oh, and I meant to say this too. Her thing also played on the Seattle burlesque influence, which you've seen in other Seattle queens. And so I love that part of it. But I love that idea, Joel. That's really, that would have been perfect. Anyway.
And was a callback to the first episode where she did a burlesque number and was the flower and had all of her, was depetaling throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
I did not love this finale. I was kind of bored through it all. These songs, even though they have some input into them, are horrible. Like, they're just like, they're not bangers. These don't slap, as the kids say. Like, they're just not, they're not fun songs.
They're no Bing they Bang Bong. Or how's your head?
I mean, even that, I'm just whatever. Like, it's, I know that, oh God, what's his name? Who took over for Lucian?
Leland,
yes. Like, these are just such like kitschy like show songs versus like it being something that I want to listen to afterwards. Mm-hmm. And to have them like to have this many queens and we're whittling it down, it just I don't know. Like, it just didn't, it just felt boring to me. I thought, unpopular opinion, I thought Camden won the final lip sync. I think Camden did a better job in that performance.
I do too.
I think that Willow is a great persona and performer, but I don't think in a lip sync battle with Camden, she won. That's my take on it. I knew Willow was going to win. When I saw that Willow and Camden were the top two, I was like, there's no way that Camden's going to win. But I still think that Camden did a better job lip syncing and performing that final performance than Willow did. I know I'm in the minority. I'm not a huge Willow fan. I'm not saying that she's not great. I'm not saying that she's not, like, she was cool when we saw her perform. Yeah. All of that. Mazel and hooray for her being the newly crowned queen. Like, I will sit there and I will cheer. But I think Camden should have won from those two in that performance alone.
I think Willow had the better reveal than Camden, though. The, like, suit to the pants to the, like, dance outfit was better than Camden's, which was exactly the same as the reveal she did in her solo, which is the problem. I think is if Camden, I think, had a bigger reveal and didn't do the fall, it maybe would have been better and she would have won.
I don't think that needs to make or break. Like, overall, I think the performance-wise, I think it was still Camden. But Rue has been in love with Willow from episode one. And that's fine. And that's great. And it's been a great season. One last thing that we'll touch on before we do a quick touch on All-Star 7 and wrap this up. Simone's step-down look has caused such a stir on social media. I will say this. I'm on both sides of this. When she came out, I was like, this is really what you're stepping down in. Watching it made, seeing that it was a resin molded, shirt, quote unquote, what went into making it. It was a stunning look. She looked phenomenal. I know that she is taking Black culture and elevating it to a different level. Her handkerchief look from her finale, something along those lines, is kind of that mixture of both, like, quote unquote, pretty, elegant drag for a step down and the culture that I would have loved to have seen. And that gown that she wore on the red carpet was, I think, more what I would have expected. Yeah. So I can fall on both sides, but she looked fucking stunning. And bitch, do what you got to do. Anything that she does is phenomenal. And I'm all about it.
Yeah.
Agreed. Any other hot takes on Simone's look?
I don't know. It really just, it challenged me to rethink what, like, why we do the, like, why they come back for the finales. Is it to be in the most elegant gown, or is it to be the best version of their drag and why they won? And, like, I feel like Jinx really set the bar really high for being just, like, the most elevated drag possible, no matter if it fits with what you do. Like, I don't know, but I just, once I saw this and then I just kept thinking about it more, it's like, wait a minute, I'm like, here I am critiquing this woman's drag, which is her purest and best form. Bitch, it was fierce. And for me to think anything different would just simply be incorrect. Like, it was fierce in every way. It took me a little bit to get there.
Yeah, I'm with you on that for sure. Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick dive into the new delusion and diamonds of All Stars 7. We are being treated to our first ever all-winner season, including All Stars winners.
And?
The UK.
Why not?
Why not? What are your opinions on this cast of queens that include Evie Oddly, Raja, Jinx Monsoon, Trinity the Tuck, Monet Exchange, Jada Essence Hall? I'm trying to remember them all by memory.
Trinity the Vivian.
The Vivian, that's there. Right. And wait, and there's one
there's
more.
There's only eight.
I only said seven.
Trinity?
I said Trinity and Monet. Oh, Shea Coulee. How did I miss Shea Coulee?
Oh, how very dare you?
My new hometown queen. How could I miss Shakula? Shea Coulee, if you will. If you're nasty.
Progenitor of the Shea Coulee. Is that what it was?
Yes.
The beer?
Yes. Yeah. The Shea Coulee.
Was that what it's called? What was it called?
Yeah, the Shea Coulee.
I still have the can. I love it.
I still have the can sitting on my... I washed it out, and I have it sitting on my pass-through from my kitchen in my living room. We were supposed to have this thing called the Waldo Fest. It was a 420 festival that was going to be on Argyle, between the bar that I work at, the Sofo Tap, and our sister bar, Meeting House, and Shea Coulee was one of the headlining performers. And then the garage across the street was set ablaze in the early hours of the morning, so the festival was canceled. So I did not get to see Shea Coulee perform at Waldo Fest. That's sad. But yeah, let's do a little open discussion. Thoughts, good, bad, the not so great of missing winners that we would have loved to have seen back on our TVs. What are your thoughts, y'all?
Meh. No, I'm excited because I didn't think Jinx would ever come back to Drag Race in that way. And I love Jinx, and she is so different than what she was during her season. I don't love some of the choices only because, like, Trinity and Monet, like a rematch kind of thing. So there can be only one. I don't know. There's a lot of things in there that I'm.
I mean, did you see the teaser?
I don't think so.
They're teaming up.
Yes. It's an alliance, baby.
Oh, they're going back to that one? Oh, my God. All right.
The dual winners of All-Stars 4 are going to try to form an alliance.
So do we know, have they revealed the big twist or whatever the thing that we alluded to? I don't know anything.
I don't think they've actually officially said it, but we all know there are no eliminations this entire season.
Well, it's in an EW article, I think.
Oh, okay.
It is formally out there what this is going to be with the stars, no eliminations, that jazz. So it's out there.
Yeah. So every week,
yeah, how's it work?
The top two queens will lip sync. The top queen will win a star. I think some competitions, there'll be some things where they'll be able to win multiple stars. But then... And I haven't read the EW. I'm going based off of what I've read and seen before. They'll be able to also block a queen from winning a star the next week. So even if that queen wins the episode or the lip sync, they won't be able to receive stars. And then at the end of this run of episodes, the top four queens with the highest number of stars will... do a lip sync smackdown for the crown, and then we'll have a top two, and then those top two will lip sync, and then they have filmed both queens winning the season. So we'll get to see all eight of these queens through the entire season. And this is back to the beginning of our episode when we were talking about this, Dan. I'm good with this. I know this is the format. I know that these queens of queens are going to be on my television every single week. I want to see what they're going to do. We know that this is what the format is. You have not lied to me. You have not told me that you're not saving anybody and that it's only up to the drag gods. I'm okay with this. I want to see whatever 8 or 10 weeks of shows. I'm going to be excited for all of this. I'm going to see all of these queens that we've watched and we've seen win the show get to compete and bring it to the runway, bring it to these challenges and do what they do best and never have to worry about like a queen going home until the end. So I'm excited about this.
I think this type of format is the only way you would have gotten some of these winners to come back, I think.
Yeah.
Because I think once they get their crown, they're like, I'm not going to spend all that money on a collection of garments when I may only get to show off one of them. I mean, that was one of Bianca's reasons for not coming back was wasting $90,000 on a closet of gown.
Enjoy bankruptcy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Have they revealed the network? Is this Paramount Plus again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. The All-Stars will be on Paramount Plus.
Yeah. I do think this format was the only way to do the winners justice. Because frankly, they deserve this time. My general thought is like, when I first saw the cast, I was like, I guess like I like the winners, but I just didn't expect these winners. But like outside of Shea Coulee, I feel like all of them have a little bit more to prove. Whereas Aquaria doesn't have shit to prove anymore. Trixie doesn't have anything to prove anymore. Bianca doesn't give a shit anymore. Like the winners that aren't there don't need to be there. What I would have loved to see is more international winners, but by the time they filmed this, there might not have even been that many outside of maybe Envy Peru.
It was filmed a while ago, like over a year ago, right?
Yeah. Like, I'm really excited for iteration two when they do this again. And I hope like they bring like a Priyanka in and an MV Peru and a Vanessa Van Cartier, like an Anjali Anang. Like, I hope they really go international with this. But the cast overall was just kind of meh. But also, I'm still more excited for this season than I think I've been for a season in years.
Yeah, I kind of wish that the drag, was it UK versus the world? I thought that was going to be that international winner's circle thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as RuPaul builds out the cinematic universe of World of Wonder, I mean, they're maybe still building to that, like, magic moment. The other thing, I didn't know if, like, All-Stars was the right vehicle for this, even though it is called All-Stars, it makes sense. But just making it All-Stars 7, 6, 7, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why not just call it something else and or call it All-Stars Winner's Circle or All-Stars blah, blah, blah. There's that part of my brain also sort of rejects it because it's like, but they're already winners. They've already won. I don't know. Those things matter not at all, but to me, they stick in my brain. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of talk about this being called Superstars, which would tie into the whole Stars point system also, but I mean, if you were to do that, then people would be like, well, where's All-Star 7? And I mean, it's going to take that spot in the two per year, you know, filming slash airing, you know, kind of schedule. So I can understand it from that point. But Dan, I'm with you. This is like, I was so fatigued and burnt out from season 14. And we've had UK versus the world. We have España season 2 going on right now. There's like all of these things that are going on. And I saw this, you know, I saw that this was coming and I was like, you know what? I'm down. I'm ready for this. Like, I'm excited. I love Monet. I love Jinx. Shay is phenomenal. You know, and someone had pointed out that I follow on Twitter that a lot of the focus is on the more recent winners or the more recent queens who did not have a chance to really kind of have a career post Drag Race win because of COVID. So this is a
but
way
I'd
to
say
get
the
them
only
back.
One the only one that falls into that group is Jada
from even, the regular seasons.
Yeah,
because Shay didn't have a run after All Stars 5 really, or like a touring schedule after AS 5. They didn't even have a promo shoot. They got photographed in the back. They were by the stairs. Like somebody busted out an iPhone and said, okay, hold still. We're going to do these photos real quick. You know, they didn't get a full proper promo. They didn't get a chance to really tour because it was filmed pre-COVID, but it aired like right at like in early COVIDina times.
They should have called it Drag Race Cosmos.
Carl Sagan could have been a guest host.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Eric, you read my mind. That is so spectacular. Please make this. If some drag queen out there, if not, I'm going to try this. Drag Carl Sagan. I want to see it. I don't care if it's a king or a queen, whatever you think that means, man, do it. Yes, love you forever. But
also,
no,
like,
you were
trying to get them to drag Carl Sagan. I was like, somebody's start reading it to filth.
Oh, that's probably already happened. But no, like, you know, how like Sailor Moon Cosmos, and I don't know. I think that would be fun. Yeah. So when does this air? Is it like a couple of weeks from now? Is it like yesterday?
May 20th is the premiere. Like,
great.
So that weekend is going to be like the gayest weekend for me, and I'm fucking living for it. May 19th, we get Legendary Season 3 starting. Fucking, I cannot wait.
Yes.
Baby, that's Keke Palmer. Like, the first thing that I thought about when I heard that, I'm sad that Megan Thee Stallion is not going to be back as a judge. Really sad about that. Because I did not really listen to any of Meg's music before watching Legendary, but loved her as a judge, and like she is just a fucking awesome person. Bitch, when I found out that she was still doing her college classes while being a fucking like international rap superstar, I was like, how do you go into a Zoom college class and just see Megan Thee Stallion like in your classroom? Like, how do you not like how? But I fucking love that for her. But the House of LaBeija is competing on season 3 of Legendary. which means that we get to see Aja LaBeija perform with the house on Legendary Season 3. So that's going to be phenomenal. And did you watch the trailer? Dan, did you see the trailer?
Did you see Bob? Of course. Yeah, did you see Bob? Gorgeous.
With the staff, and then they got the wings. Oh,
she got her hair. Ear crew.
Mm-hmm. Which apparently filmed at Southern Nights Orlando the day before we were recording this. Last night, from when we were recording, they were in Orlando filming their special. I think they did the drag show at Southern Nights for the episode.
Wonder if they'll do something for Pulse there.
Maybe, yeah. I'll be interested to see when when that episode airs and see it all come together.
Yeah.
But then we also get Hayley Kiyoko is releasing new music on May 20th. We get All Star 7 on May 20th. And I think there's something else queer that's coming out. It's not queer, but the Challenge All Star Season 3 on Paramount Plus is also out. That's on the 20th, I think. So, okay, a little straighter, but you know what? Whatever. It's going to be a busy weekend for me, and I'm really excited about that weekend. But All Stars, Legendary, Hayley Kiyoko. I'm going to be in gay heaven on that weekend. I'm so excited.
So who's your winner of All Stars? Who is your All Stars winner?
Everybody else go first, and then I will, because yeah, Brian, who's your pick?
Who do I want to win?
Let's go
top two. Top two is what we're going to do, because there's who I want to win and who I think could win.
There you go.
It's Jinx or Monet are my two.
Eric.
And I'll let you figure out which is which.
Well, I mean, those were the two I was going to say, but I think Shay could do really well in this as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a Shay and Monet stan. I would love to see Shay win it, but I think Monet embodies the brand more, and I think she is the best that has come out of the show branding wise, and I think is the winner of winners truly. But I really also hope Evie Oddly just knocks it out of the park and slays.
Evie, that's who we didn't put in the list, or did we?
No, I said Evie.
Yeah.
You said Evie. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot. Shay was the only one that I forgot at the end. I would love to see I'd love to see Shay do well. They're all gonna do so amazing. Like these are just queens that you know that there's not a weak link in the bunch at all. Mm-hmm. When it comes down to their looks, their acting, their charisma, all of that. Like, it's going to be an amazing fucking season. Monet is my girl. I'm still happy that I got Parliament to book her as a last minute replacement for, I think, White Party in season 10. Monet, fraternity brother of these two on the show. So Monet is, whenever Monet is on my screen, I'm always rooting for Monet. And Jinx, longtime friend, amazing queen. Those are my top two. And if either one of them wins, I'm golden. If Shay wins, I fucking love it. There's really only one queen on the season that if they won, I would be like, I'm mad. And dear listeners, if you know, you know. I'm not going to say much more than that. But, you know, I think overall it's going to be a fucking amazing season. And I can't not wait to see it. All right, dear listeners, thank you so much for going on this journey with us. Tell us your comments. What did you think about season 14? What were some of your highlights? What were some of your lowlights? What did you think about the finale? Did you think that the right queen won? Were you rooting for Willow the entire way from the time that Enya started playing on the main stage of RuPaul's Drag Race and she threw a toaster in or around the bathtub? We still don't know. I say in the bathtub. But I'm surprised that there was even a debate about that. But apparently that is like this innocuous, you know, imagination.
Usually they film it twice. So I assume it's probably one of each.
Maybe.
A little combi.
I guess if it's now such a broad range and quote unquote family friendly, you can't, you know, say that she threw a toaster into the bathtub and then jumped in, you know, might have a little bit of an issue there with the ratings network or the ratings council there. But tell us what you think in the comments. Hit us up on social media. Let us know. Thank you all for joining me on this episode. Check us out online. Our website is flameonshow.com. You can also find our social media there. You can find our Threadless shop so you can get your own Flame On swag. And there's also a link for our Patreon, or you can go straight to patreon.com/flameonshow. Joel, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. One of our long-time listeners, one of our long-time friends. I just found out on Twitter that you have a podcast. Please tell the folks at home where they can find you online if you would like to, and or where they can find your podcast and follow along with you.
You can find me on most social media at Thespis Punk. And my podcast that I do is called May the Power Protect You. And it's a podcast all about Power Rangers. I talk about news. I talk about merchandise. And I review the comics and the TV shows with my good friend, Kevin. So come listen to Two Fags talk about Power Rangers.
Yay! Spell Thespis Punk for those listening.
T-H-E-S-P-I-S-P-U-N-K.
I love it. Dan, thank you so much for joining us. Tell the folks that are listening where they can find you for your hot takes and even hotter thirst traps on social media.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I mean, you know I love talking about drag. But you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Dan in Bathrooms.
Coming to a local rest stop near you. Awesome. Eric, Brian, thank you for joining me. I know got you up, or at least on the West Coast, we got you up at the wee hours of the morning to talk drag, but it has been phenomenal. I am excited for when we get to deep dive All-Star 7. But until next time, we'll be back in 2 weeks for our next pop culture roundup. Bye, bitch.
Hey there, listener. Do you have something to say? Then you're already a podcaster. You just don't know it yet. Whether you love to shoot the breeze with friends, have an urge to share your passion with the world, or even want to grow your business, you've got something worth saying with a podcast. With Acast, it couldn't be easier to start your own show. Launch, grow, and make money from your podcast across all listening platforms. If you have something to say, you're a podcaster. Head over to acast.com to get started for free.